I've seen most of you, but it's good to be with you. Chuck and I met 18 months ago or so, through some of the work that Chuck does in the prison. And it's been a really nice friendship to develop. I've appreciated it over the years. We're going to look at one of the episodes from Luke's Gospel where Luke describes, or he gives a picture of what Jesus is like, and it's a lovely picture. But before we look at this passage in Luke 5, I just want to read a couple of verses from Luke 4, if I could. If you've got your Bibles, have a look at it. If not, just listen, that's fine. It's Luke 4, verse 18. And what Jesus is doing is he's quoting Isaiah, and Isaiah's talking about what Jesus would be like and what Jesus' ministry would be like. And it's a beautiful couple of verses. And it reads like this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." What Luke's doing in Luke's Gospel is he's building this compelling picture of Jesus. He shows us Jesus' humanity as he grows up. So we know, don't we, Jesus was fully God, but Jesus was also fully man. There's times when Jesus goes off to have time on his own because he's tired and he's hungry, and he has to go to pray to his heavenly Father. You have Jesus as he's growing up, and we read that he grows in understanding, and we think, well, how can that be if he's God, but he's God and he's man? We have in the wilderness, where Luke describes how Jesus goes into the wilderness and he overcomes Satan and defeats Satan and all his temptations. And then Jesus goes to Nazareth and he speaks to his own people, and his own people reject him. And in the second half of Luke 5 and the first half of Luke 6, you have Jesus performing a number of teaching miracles. And these miracles, Jesus is showing his power, and he's showing his authority, and he's showing his compassion. But there's a deeper lesson to him as well that I want us to have a look at tonight. It'd have been great to have looked at all this in one sermon, but I couldn't have done it justice. What Jesus is doing in Luke 5 and Luke 6 is he's moving through society from the bottom to the top. And it's when he gets to the top that he gets rejected. And so he starts, he engages with the lowest of the low. He engages with this man who's a leper. And then after he's engaged with this man who's a leper, he engages with a man who's paralysed. And then when he's engaged with this man who's paralysed, he engages with a man who's a tax collector who would have been hated by society because he would have been a traitor. And then he comes to the top of society. He comes to the religious people, the scribes, the Pharisees, those who you could say in our age have gone to church all their life and they think they're good people. And while the first people, the lepers and the paralysed and the tax collectors, they know that they're sinners, they know that there's something wrong with them, he comes to these religious people and they're impossible to get through to because they think that they're good. And I think there's a lesson that's proved over the ages and proved wherever you go in the country, that you have people who you could think they are beyond help and Jesus can save them. And you have people who are so respectable. I've had conversations with people, and I've said it before almost myself, that it wouldn't take much for them to get saved because they're such lovely people. But often it's those people who won't bow to Jesus. So that's the pattern through this section that we're looking at the beginning of tonight. From the bottom up, Jesus is coming to these people. He comes to a leper, he comes to a paralytic, he comes to the tax collectors, and they all embrace him. And then he comes to those people who've lived good lives, and they reject him. And I think there's a lesson for us as Christians, and for you as a church as well, that we've always got to fight against becoming a class and a status chasing church and people. We've always, it's ever so easy to get into to unhelpful traditions. It's ever so easy to want to be regarded by people. But we've got to always remember that, that there's a phrase, and it sounds a bit corny, but the church is not, we're in a hotel, but the church is not a hotel for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. I've heard it described, the church isn't a cruise liner. It's a battleship with a hospital wing. And the people that Jesus embraces through the Gospels, you see that Jesus isn't embarrassed of people with problems. Jesus isn't embarrassed of people who are broken. It's often the people who think they've got it all together that come unstuck with Jesus. So I haven't got points particularly tonight, but I want us to think about two things. The first thing I want us to think about is how do we come to Jesus? And the second thing I want us to think about is how does Jesus respond when we do come to him? So firstly, let's see who it is who comes to Jesus in chapter 5, verse 12. What do we notice about him? What do we notice about this man who comes to Jesus? Well, Luke tells us he's full of leprosy. This man's a leprosy. Boys, do you know what leprosy is? Have you ever heard of leprosy? Yeah? Do you reckon you can tell me what it is or not? You lose your limbs. Yeah, it's a horrible disease. Now, we don't see leprosy much now, but it is still around in the world. Maybe your dad will let you, I don't know. If you go on, you'll have to do it carefully. If you go on Google, you can see images of people who've got this horrible disease. And we can treat it now, but back then, you couldn't really treat leprosy. They used to say if you got leprosy, you died twice. Because they said you were as good as dead when you got it, because you couldn't be cured from it. It was a horrible, horrible disease. And it wasn't just horrible physically, it was horrible in it was horrible socially as well. So if you were a leper, it wasn't just that it was a physical disease, but you had to live separate to all your family. So firstly, physical, we've seen perhaps what leprosy looks like. It starts off with these like patchy, blotchy skin, and as it develops, people think, oh, it's a disease where your limbs rot away, but it's not. It's a disease that affects your nervous system, and you lose all the feeling in your extremities. So you can't feel heat or you can't feel pressure, so you burn your hand and you don't know you burnt it. And what happens is your skin starts to rot and your skin starts to fall off, and that's when you lose your limbs. It's a horrible, horrible disease. And it was thought of as highly contagious, so in Leviticus they have a law set out for people who contracted leprosy. And if you contracted leprosy, you had to go and live outside of the camp. You couldn't mix with your community or your family. If you entered the house of a leper, then you were called unclean. Lepers weren't allowed within 100 feet of anybody else. And they had to go around. And if you were a leper and anyone comes within 100 feet of you, you have to shout out, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean." And when they heard you shout, "I'm unclean," they'd stay away from you. And that was perhaps the worst thing, I think, about leprosy. That people were complete outcasts. Can you imagine not having any contact with your family? Now, because we don't know lots about this leper in the story, am I allowed to use a little bit of artistic license? Okay, do you ever use artistic license occasionally? Let's say he's called Reuben. And Reuben wakes up one morning. It's a normal morning, he gets up. I suppose in the morning you get up and you have breakfast, don't you? He gets up and he has breakfast with his wife and his children. And as he's getting dressed, he notices he's got this small sore on his arm. And he says, "Oh, I'll have to keep an eye on that." And he goes to get dressed and he says to his wife, he says, "Can you just come and check me back and my neck and see if there's anything there?" She looks and says, "Yeah, you've got, well, there's a patch there and there's a little patch there." And he thinks, well, that could be nothing, but we'll keep our eye on it. And a couple of weeks later, it's not just one sore he's got on his arm, he's got five sores on his arm now. And he's got some on his chest and his legs. And he goes, and they've turned into like raw skin, and he goes to see the priest. Now, the priest was the community leader, and the priest was the spiritual leader, like the pastor kind of thing. And he was the GP, the doctor, all in one. And the priest says to him, he says, "It's bad news, Reuben. You've got leprosy." And he's devastated. And he, He says, well, can I just go home and tell my wife and my kids? He says, no, you can't. He says, we'll have to get a message to them. You can't actually ever see your wife and children again. He says, can I just write them a letter? He says, no, because if you write a letter, then the letter becomes unclean. And they go home, and his wife and his kids have to move out of the house because they have to come in and spray it and fumigate it. And poor Reuben, he has to go and live out in the wilderness all on his own. Can you imagine? That used to happen to people all the time. And again, imagine this. I'm thinking, if he's got kids, his kids are maybe... How old are you two? Nine and 12. Imagine he's got kids now, and they're 9 and 12. And he's never going to see them grow up. They're never going to see the dad again. And he's got a daughter, and he thinks, I'm never going to be able to give my daughter away at a wedding. He thinks, I'm never going to be able to kiss my wife again. And he's amongst the most despised and desperate people in society. So imagine with this Reuben chap that 10 years pass by. And he's desperately lonely. He's not had any human contact. He's not had a conversation with another human. And no other human beings touched him for 10 years. Never had a handshake or a love. And now the disease has spread all over him because no doctor will touch him, and he's got little stumps for hands, and he's lost most of his toes, and his voice is really gravelly because it affects your lungs. And if anybody, travellers come round, he has to shout to them, I'm unclean, stay away from me. Can you imagine what Reuben's life would have been like as a leper? There's also something significant about leprosy, which we'll come back to later on. Throughout the Bible, leprosy is seen as a picture of sin. It doesn't mean that people who were leprous were any worse sinners than other people, but the effects of leprosy were like sin. They're a picture of what sin is. It's something that spreads. It's something that makes you unclean. It's something that separates you from God's presence. It's something that you can't heal yourself. Something that eventually will kill you. So here's this man, this leper, we'll call him Reuben, and he's a complete outcast. This is why Luke tells this passage. This man is the most desperate picture of hopelessness and lostness and uncleanness you could ever imagine. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody really, really, really desperate who may be living on the streets and you feel really, really sorry for him. Well, if you can times that by 10, that's what this man in this passage is like. And if we understand that, it makes what happens next a bit more clear, or a bit clearer. Look at verse 12. And it happened when he was in a certain city that a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. We're told Jesus is in a city, or he's in a town. Now, a town for a leper is a no-go zone, because there's people in towns. So can you picture the scene? Here's Reuben, the leper, and somehow he's heard about Jesus. He's heard that Jesus has come to Harrogate, let's say. And there's crowds all around him, because everyone wants to meet Jesus. But Reuben thinks, well, what can I do? I can't come into the town. I'm not allowed into the town. And can you imagine all the crowds are around Jesus, and suddenly you see him just parting really quickly, and everyone runs to the side of the road. And you think, well, what's going on here? And you can look down the road and you can see this bloke, and he's kind of limping down the street, and he's scruffy and he's stinky and he's got stumps for hands and he's got skin falling off. And he's breaking all the ceremonial laws. He's risking everything to get to Jesus, and the law can't do anything for him. All the law can do is tell him he's dirty. And the priest can't do anything for him. The priest can only tell him he's unclean. But this man knows, if I can get to Jesus, Jesus can do something for me. And he arrives where Jesus is. And Jesus hasn't run out of the way. And you can imagine, can't you? This massive circle would have been around him. And he throws himself at Jesus' feet and he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, nobody could make him clean. It's impossible. He says, Jesus, you can make me clean. It doesn't think, well, maybe Jesus can make me clean. It says, Jesus, you can make me clean. And I wonder, on such a simple level, have we seen that yet? Of all of us, have we seen that yet, that only Jesus can make us clean? This is what sin does to us. All of us have been here at one stage, or we might even be here. We're cut off from God. If you're not a Christian, you're cut off from God. And you're not cut off because you're a leper. We're cut off because we're sinners. And everything that we touch becomes unclean. Every time we try and make ourselves into better people, it just makes things worse. But Jesus can make us clean. I think that's a lovely picture of the gospel, isn't it? We've got sin that cuts us off from a holy God. We've got sin that makes us dirty on the inside. But Jesus can make us clean. We can come here tonight and we can be dressed and we can smell gorgeous. But underneath it, we can be like this man. We can be cut off from God and we can be dead in our sin. And this man risks everything. He comes to Jesus and says, you can make me clean. It's the only way that we can be clean, isn't it? The only thing any of us can ever offer to Jesus is our sin. And Jesus makes us clean. And look what happens in verse 13. Can you imagine everyone looking on? What's Jesus going to do? This bloke's broke all the laws. This bloke's broke all the rules. He's come within 100 feet of people. What's Jesus going to do? And Jesus says to him, I am willing. Be clean. And that isn't just the heart of Jesus to this leper. That's the heart of Jesus to anyone who comes to him and says to Jesus, can you make me clean? Can you save me? It's good to know, isn't it, that to be saved, you don't have to jump through hoops. Jesus doesn't say to this leper, he doesn't say, listen, you stink. Go and have a wash and then come back to me. He doesn't say, look, go and get some clean clothes on and then come back to me. Jesus looks at this leper and he's at the dirtiest he is. It must have been disgusting to look at. And Jesus says, come here, I'll make you clean. I used to be a plumber. And I haven't seen the van, but I saw an advertisement on the internet, and this plumber had advertised on his van, he had this: there is no place too dirty, too deep, or too dark that we cannot go. And I thought, isn't that a picture of the gospel? There's no person too dirty, there's no sin too dark, there's no nothing too deep that Jesus isn't prepared to say, I can make you clean. There's nobody too dark, too dirty, too deep in sin that Jesus won't forgive. He proved that, didn't he, when he came from the glory of heaven and he was born into a trough in Bethlehem. Nothing that any of us have done in this room, nothing that I've done in my life, loads of things that I'm ashamed of, I'm sure there's things that you're ashamed of, there's nothing that we've done or can do that if we bring it to Jesus, he can't make us clean. And then something amazing and awesome and deliberate happens. Jesus touches this leper. It's one of the key points. Imagine our leper Reuben, and nobody's touched him for 10 years. Not had a cuddle for 10 years, not had a handshake for 10 years, not even had a hello for 10 years, but Jesus touches him. Now, let me ask you a question. Could Jesus heal people just by speaking? What do you think? Do you think, yeah? Adults, do we think Jesus can can Jesus heal people just by speaking, yeah? He's done it loads of times, hasn't he? In the Gospels, it's recorded Jesus spoke and they were healed. If ever there's a time for Jesus to heal someone just by speaking, when do you think it is? It's with this leper, isn't it? If ever there's a time for Jesus to heal someone just by speaking, surely now's the time. But Jesus doesn't. We read Jesus touched him. And when we think Jesus touched him, we think maybe he just went like that. He went and jumped back. Think that's how Jesus touched him? The word that Luke uses for touch, it meant to give someone a love. I'm not going to give you a love, don't worry. It means to give someone like a big man hug, a big bear hug. Jesus takes this filthy, stinky, infected, leprous man that nobody wants to touch, and Jesus gives him a love. Can you imagine that? He's not had any contact for all, however long it is. And then Jesus embraces him. Ain't Jesus good? Jesus will embrace us in all our filth. We come to Jesus in all our sin and in all our mess, and Jesus is perfect, and Jesus is spotless, and Jesus is sinless. But he's not embarrassed. He don't give us an awkward handshake. We come to Jesus and he puts his arms around and says, I love you. I can make you clean. I think of the father. You know, in Luke 15, you've got the parable of the two sons. And you've got the son who's messed his life up, hasn't he? And he's lived a terrible life. And he's on his way home and he's filthy. He's been living in a pigsty. And he's messed up his life. And he's ashamed of all he's done. And he's in a right mess. And he's rehearsing his speech and he's thinking, oh, I'll say to my dad, look, Dad, listen, I'm really sorry. Do you think maybe I could live as one of your servants? And his dad runs out to him. And his dad puts his arms around him and gives him a massive love. Well, that's what Jesus does. And more than that, Jesus, he didn't do anything wrong, but he breaks the law. He breaks the ceremonial law. Jesus was touching someone who it was unclean. And yet this is the message. Everything that unclean people touch becomes unclean, but everything Jesus touches becomes clean. When Jesus touches your life and my life, we become clean. So you can imagine it, can't you? Now, this is artistic license, but this pretty much is what would have happened. As Jesus is holding Reuben, our leper, Reuben gets a tingling feeling in his arms. He's never had a tingling feeling in his arms for years because all his nerves are dead. And he looks down and his toes are back. And he looks and he's got a hand again. And he feels his skin and it's soft. And then Jesus gives instructions. He says, look, go and present yourself to the priest and make some offerings for your cleansing. Now, why does the leper need to make offerings to the priest? Jesus has already made him clean. Well, Jesus doesn't just want to heal this leper. Jesus wants to restore him. Jesus wants to give him his life back. Jesus doesn't just want to forgive our sins. He wants to give us our lives back. This man wasn't made to be a leper. And Jesus restored him to what he was made to be. He gave him his life back. And that's a picture, I think, of what happens with the gospel. When we come to Jesus in our sin and we ask him to make us clean, he doesn't just say, okay, your sins are forgiven. He gives us our life back. He gives us life back as it's meant to be. And this is what would have happened. The priest would have taken the leper, this Reuben bloke, he'd have taken him outside of the town and he examines him, he checks him out, he gets his microscope out and he's looking. I can't find any, there's no leprosy on him, he's clean. And his family still haven't met him yet. His family have got to wait. And his family are watching from a distance, from 100 feet away or whatever. They're waiting to celebrate, but they can't. And so the priest, he takes two birds. And he takes some hyssop, which were like a flower hyssop. But you could use it like a paintbrush. And the priest takes one of the birds and he kills it. And he kills it over a pot so that they don't lose any of the blood. And he takes the next bird, but he don't kill the next bird. He dips it in the blood and he lets it fly away. And then he takes the blood and he puts the hyssop in it and he flicks it 7 times over Reuben. 5, 6, 7. And then he gives Reuben a shave and he gives him a bath and he lets him go back to his family. And they have this, they'd have had this 7-day party, 7-day celebration. Just a reminder, isn't it, that for sin to be dealt with, for uncleanness to be dealt with, blood has to be shed. And Reuben, this leper's back from the dead. Can you imagine the joy as he'd have hugged his wife and kissed his kids? And even though he's told not to say anything, because Jesus' time to be revealed hasn't arrived, the news spreads and all the crowds come to hear Jesus. It's an amazing scene. And at the end of verse 16, you just have this little postcard again from Luke of Jesus' humanity. Because of these things, Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So how can we wrap it up? Jesus has shown us this, and it's just as relevant now as it was 2,000 years ago. Starting at the very bottom of society, Jesus has come to cleanse people and make them clean. Leprosy is a picture of our sin. Our sin is vile. Our sin separates us from a holy God. And ultimately, if it's not dealt with, our sin will lead to death and it will separate us from God in hell forever. And it's as though everything that we touch to try and make ourselves clean makes things worse. Have you ever had that experience? You get into a mess and you're trying to sort it out yourself and you just make everything worse. You ever made a mess at home and you try and clean it up yourself because you're trying to cover it up, and every time you try and clean it up, it gets worse. I think you boys, you went to my mum and dad's house, didn't you, the other week in Doncaster? The one with the big garden at the back. You remember? That was my mum and dad. Okay? So, picture this. This is a true story now. My dad, they've got a baptistry in the church in Doncaster, and my dad was painting it the other year with blue marine paint. Now, marine paint is really good paint, but it makes a right mess if you get it anywhere. And he just finished painting the baptistry. And he dropped his paintbrush in the bottom. And so he put a piece of cardboard down, and he stood on the piece of cardboard. And as he stood on the piece of cardboard, he stood up and the cardboard stuck to his shoe. And so he put his hand down and his hand stuck to the paint. And he lifted his hand up and he got paint all over his shirt. And he put his other foot down and that went in the paint. And his shoe came off, or his sock came off. And he went like that, and he got paint all over him. True story. And he phoned my mum up. He was nearly crying. And he said, "Dawn, you need to come here and get me quickly. I'm in a right mess." And when my mum arrived, he was in his vest and his pants. And he looked like a smurf. There was paint everywhere on him. See, he was trying to make things better himself, and everything he touched turned blue. The floor around the pool were a mess. His clothes had to be chucked. He had blue skin for days. That's what our sin can do to us. That everything that we touch goes wrong. Every time we try and make ourselves acceptable to God, we just make a mess. And all we can do is we can come to Jesus and we can say, "Jesus, you can make me clean. Jesus, you can heal me life. Jesus, you can forgive me." And we forget about the social embarrassment that this bloke would have had, and we forget about the awkwardness, and we forget about our friends taking the mickey out of us, and we throw ourselves at Jesus' mercy and we say, "Jesus, you can make me clean." And do you know something? That I'm not going to ask who's the oldest here, but from the oldest to the youngest, you know this: if you ask Jesus to make you clean, and you mean it, if you ask Jesus to save you and forgive your sin and you mean it, if you ask Jesus to forgive you and you mean it, that's a request he'll never say no to. Jesus comes to us as we are, with all our problems, all our sins, all our secret sins, all our things that we're embarrassed of, and he makes us instantly clean. He doesn't put us on probation. So Chuck works with people sometimes in prison. And when these people come out, they're told, "Right, you're free, but if you do anything wrong in the next year, you're back in prison." But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus says that you're free, you're clean. And we start to live for him. We don't just live as we want. But Jesus doesn't put us on probation. There are two extremes that Jesus shows by the end of these teaching miracles. You begin with this leper who's a complete mess, and Jesus makes him clean. And you end up with these Pharisees who think they're clean, but they're the ones that are really dirty. They're the ones that are really full of death. Spiritual lepers acknowledge the sin and run to Jesus. Religious people never go to Jesus because they already think they're clean. Who do you think's in the most danger? The person who's dirty and goes to Jesus, or the person who's dirty but thinks they're clean? We need to see ourselves like my dad at the bottom of the baptistry. Our sin makes such a mess. But we come to Jesus and he can make us clean. And when we come to Jesus, even as Christians, we need to come to Jesus. Not to be saved again. But there's a passage where Jesus is washing his disciples' feet. And Peter says, "You're not washing my feet." And Jesus says, "Peter, if I don't wash you, then you're not mine, you're not clean." And Peter says, "Well, wash everything." He says, "No," he says, "you've already been washed, but your feet need cleaning." And what that means is, we come to Jesus once to be saved. And when we're saved forever. Our sins are forgiven forever. But we do need to keep coming back to him and saying, "Lord, I've messed up here. Lord, please forgive me." But as we close, I want us to see one more thing. And this is a really important thing. Why do you think Jesus could make this leper clean? And the first thing we think, well, he could do it because he's God. That's a fair answer, isn't it? Jesus could make this leper clean. Why could Jesus make this leper clean? Because he's God. But I don't think that's the reason. It's certainly part of the reason. How could Jesus take away Reuben's leprosy? Well, I've got one more person to tell you about, and that's Jesus the leper. Jesus could only make this leper clean because one day Jesus was going to take his place. One day Jesus was going to endure what was considered ultimate uncleanness. One day Jesus was going to be degraded. One day Jesus was going to be abandoned by all his friends. When Jesus went to the cross, all of our sin and all of our uncleanness and all of our vileness, everyone through history who has ever asked Jesus to make them clean, it was all laid on Jesus. And Jesus has to carry his cross, and he has to carry all the dirt and all the shame of our sins, and it all gets laid on Jesus. And the high priest comes along, and just like he condemns the leper, the high priest condemns Jesus. And Jesus is taken outside of the city. The only way that this leper could be healed is through Jesus on the cross. Sin, our sin and uncleanness, they don't just get your sin doesn't just get taken away because Jesus is loving. Your sin only gets taken away when it's laid on Jesus at the cross. And when your sin's laid on Jesus, his righteousness and his cleanness is laid on you. Jesus knew, when Jesus embraced this leper, Jesus knew that uncleanness would have to be dealt with by him at the cross. When our sins are forgiven, they're laid on Jesus on the cross. And that's our hope tonight, that whether we've been Christians for 20 years, whether we're not Christians, we either are or we were lepers. We were this man in this story. We were cut off from a holy God. And Jesus comes and Jesus takes our filth and Jesus takes our sin and Jesus takes our uncleanness and he deals with it at the cross and he gives us our life back and he makes us clean and he restores us. There's a verse in 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, it says this: "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Stunning verse that is, isn't it? Don't say the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from some sins. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from almost any sin. So the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin. And it says in 1 John 1 verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, if we take our sin and we take it to Jesus, no matter what it is, he is faithful and just to forgive us and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whatever we're carrying tonight, whatever we've been carrying, we can be carrying the most horrendous sins, the most horrendous pasts, or we can carry what we think are the most trivial things. But Jesus is willing to make us clean. Isn't it good that we've got a Saviour that, although he's pure and he's spotless and he's clean, he's prepared to embrace us in all our filth? We've got a Saviour who's perfect and clean and holy, but he's willing to get his hands dirty with us. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he can take away sin. Not just take it away and vanish it into thin air. He takes it upon himself on the cross. And if we come to Jesus and we trust in Jesus, he cleanses us. And he gives us his righteousness. And Lord, maybe we're Christians here tonight and we're really struggling with sins in our past, and we're struggling with feelings of guilt, and we're struggling with various things. Help us to understand that if we've been to Jesus, that we're clean. We thank you that Jesus is prepared to love and cleanse sinners. And Lord, if there's anyone amongst us tonight that hasn't yet understood that, we pray that your Holy Spirit would bring that home, and that we might be able to be clean just like this leper. We ask it in your name. Amen.